بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. We continue with مدارج السالكين. We are in the first منزلة from the second volume. منزلة الإخبات. منزلة الإخبات. Of course, إخبات has no ترجمة. I tried to find the ترجمة, the translation to it in English. Neither the dictionary nor the مصاحف has translated إخبات. They written it in a, as it is in the Roman letters, and then they explained it between brackets. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُخْبِتِينَ. You can find it in Surah Al-Hajj, verse 34. I could not get a precise word of translation. Anyway, الإخبات, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never gave it one meaning in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never gave it one meaning in the Quran. لذلك المولى عز وجل in Surah Al-Hajj said, وبشر المخبتين, and give a glad tidings to the مخبتين. Also in Surah Hud, verse 23, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وبشر المخبتين, وبشر المخبتين. Then he subhanahu wa ta'ala expanded, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained the meaning. الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم. So what is the definition of al-mukhbitin? The first point, when Allah is remembered, those whom, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts enter into wajal, humble, and awe. والصابرين على ما أصابهم. And those who are patient upon whatever calamity that strikes them. So this is the second point. والمقيمي الصلاة. إقامة الصلاة is not just praying, it's an additional meaning. Meaning to do the salat properly on time and so on and so forth. Take care of the salat, يعني. Don't just fill in the obligation. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And those who spend from the sustenance that we have given them. So there are four points mentioned under the meaning of مخبتين. You have to have four of them. Not only one, you have to have the four, and then you're a مخبت. نعم. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Hud verse 23 promised them, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Those, the dwellers of paradise, the owners of paradise, and they live in it till eternity. Ibn al-Qayyim tried to explain in Arabic what the word مخبت mean or al-khabt. He said, al-khabt al-makan al-munkhafid min al-ard. It is the low space of the ground. You have two mountains and that valley, that small valley, it's the low. Or if you're walking, you find a little hill and up. That is al-makan al-mukhbit. Yani what? Settled down. Tranquil place. Settled. And this is what will help us in understanding what is the meaning in the Sharia. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma interpreted al-mukhbitin. He said, humul mutawadi'un. They're the ones who are humble. Mutawadi' humble. So that is derived from what? The low place of the earth. Meaning mutawadi', humble, the humble place of the earth. You see how he derived it? Mujahid, his student, said, Al-khabt al-mutma'innu ila Allah azza wa jal. The one who is mutma'in, has peace and tranquility with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim al-Nakhai said, al-musalloon al-mukhlisoon. The sincere ones who pray. Amr ibn Aws said, هُمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَظْلِمُونَ وَإِذَا ظُلِمُوا لَمْ يَنْتَصِرُوا. شوف. Amr ibn Aws said, those who do not oppress others. And if they were oppressed, they do not revenge. هذا هو المخبت. Now, يقول الإمام الهروي رحمه الله هو من أول مقامات الطمأنينة. It is the first level of طمأنينة. Tranquility. The first level of tranquility, peace and tranquility. كالسكينة ابن القيم said, like سكينة ويقين وثقة بالله. You all know what these words mean. Now, so the first step to certainty and yaqeen is إخبات. The first step of tranquility, of إخبات, of يقين is إخبات. Then he said, وهو ورد المأمن من الرجوع والتردد. الإمام الهروي رحمه الله said, وهو ورود المأمن is to الورود usually used when you go to a well with a sweet fresh water. That's why they say يرد البئر. That's the word ورود usually used for when you go and visit to use the well or freshwater river. This is where the base is. He said ورود المأمن من الرجوع والتردد. He said you go to the مأمن, to the place of safety, to the place of tranquility, من الرجوع والتردد. And you reach a spot, there's no turning back afterwards. You're not going to go back, nor you're going to hesitate. So المخبت has reached a place with his طمأنينة, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is no turning back afterwards, nor hesitation. Araf? That is why it is the first step of what? Trust in Allah, and the first step in what? Yaqeen. Certainty. He said here, لا ينتهي مسيره إليه ما دام نفسه يصحبه شبه حصول الإخبات بالماء العذب الذي يرده المسافر على ظمأ وحاجة في أول مناهله. He said here, الإخبات نعم لا ينتهي مسيره إليه ما دام نفسه يصحبه. ما نفسه correct it. نفسه يصحبه. He said his مسير towards him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not end, meaning there is no stop, you will stop it. There is no point you say, okay, I'm clear, close enough to Allah. No. Al-mukhbit is the person who keeps going on that journey as long as he is able to breathe. And he said, the Imam rahimahullah, Al-Harawi, made simile between when you reach the level of ikhbat, like a traveler who reaches the fresh water, or the thirsty traveler when he reaches the fresh water and he takes the first drink from it. How sweet is that? How beautiful is that? This is exactly what when you reach the level of ikhbat. He said, an ikhbat is upon three levels. الدرجة الأولى أن تستغرق العصمة الشهوة وتستدرك الإرادة الغفلة ويستهوي الطلب السلوة. What is it? أن تستغرق العصمة الشهوة. The عصمة, the infallibility consumes the desire. Of course, you're not infallible, but we're saying. Consumes what? The desire. وَالْإِرَادَ reaches and overtakes heedlessness. Strong will, the will, الْإِرَادَ overtakes heedlessness. وَيَسْتَهْوِي الطَّلَبُ السَّلْوَةَ. The seeking of the pleasure of Allah becomes your entertainment. You're entertained by it. He said here, pay attention. المريد, Ibn al-Qayyim said, المريد السالك تعرض له غفلة عن مراده تضعف شهوته، تضعف إرادته. He said المريد السالك، السالك the traveler، تعرض له غفلة عن مراده. Sometimes heedlessness can come and interfere with his aims and objectives, which weakens his resolve. Which weakens his resolve. And a desire comes. Also, it comes and opposes his irada and resolve. فتصده, stops him from his aim. ورجوع عن مراده, and turning back from his aims. وسلوة عنه, and then it occupies you from what? From your murad, what you intend. Then Ibn al-Qayyim said al-ikhbat protects you from these three. Let's explain it a little bit. Al-ikhbat, then when you reach it, it protects you from the shahwa. Ibn al-Qayyim said here, يقول تغلب عصمته شهوته وتقهرها وتستوفي جميع أجزائها. He said, Ibn al-Qayyim explaining, saying that al-isma comes to the desire. Of course, here isma, we don't say you become infallible, but we're saying what? Al-isma al-ikhbat comes and creates this power that protects you from where? From falling into shahwa. And it will defeat it. Why? Because you have to ma'nina in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all the particulars of your shahwa, it all will be submerged with what? With the infallibility from committing sin. Again, it's not the infallibility of the prophets, but we're talking about a specific kind. It is to the ibad, where the shahwa does not, it comes to the heart, but it cannot break the shield. Araf, because you're human. You're going to get some of the shahwa, but it doesn't break your heart. It does not infiltrate. Once you have this ikhbat. He said, وَخُلَاصَةُ هَذَا الْمَنْزِلِ فِي هَذَا الْمَنْزِلِ. He said, in the summary of this, مَنْ تَرَدَّدَ الْخَوَاطِرِ مِنْ تَرَدُّدِ الْخَوَاطِرِ بَيْنَ الْإِقْبَالِ وَالْإِدْبَارِ. He said, the ideas that comes between إقبال, to go forward and to go backward, between strength and weakness, between straight, strong resolve, and between weakness in those resolve, said, when those ideas come and go in your mind, but they don't affect your power, they don't affect your journey, وَذَلِكَ عَلَامَةُ السَّكِينَةِ. This is a sign of what? That you have the sakina in your heart. So, what he's saying, just one more time, the coming back and forth of the ideas in the head, ideas that which is weak in you, stops you, divert you, those ideas when they come and go and you fight them, and you are able to fight them, is a sign of what? Sakina in the heart if you don't submit to them. He said, وَتَسْتَدْرِكُ إِرَادَتُهُ غَفْلَتَهُ. And your irada, your strong will, passes, overtakes your heedlessness. He said, and the irada here, pay attention, it is according to definition of a Sufiya. Definition of a Sufiya. You will see later the Shaykh, he will define nafs in a different way that others define nafs. Fahimna? He said, هي الإرادة هو الذي خرج من وطن طبعه ونفسه. المريد, the definition of مريد, the one who comes out from وطني نفسه وطبعه. الوطن اللي هو ايش? The settlement of
his nafs and his habits.
Pay attention. Al-murid is not the one who has irada, which is important to have irada, but that's not what the definition means. Al-murid is the one who abandoned the custom that you settled to, the comfortable zone, your comfort zone. You left your comfort zone that you are accustomed to, and you traveled to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذا هو المريد. And he started his journey of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the murid. فهمنا؟ You will not be a murid if you still stuck in your habits, which is what your body is used to. You can't be a murid if your habit is to wake up and pray Fajr. You see? Why? Because the murid is the one who leaves that comfort zone, who wakes up before Fajr. Now you're becoming a murid. If you do the ibadat, the obligations in the sunan, and this is what you're accustomed to, and you want to start the journey, you want to become a murid, that means there are more ibadat you need to do. Now you are on the first step to become murid. Fahimt what the murid, and that's what he said. Your irada, yani derived from the word murid, for you to become a murid, تستدرك غفلته. Yani you overtake. You know, in the race, you race the heedlessness and you overtake it and you keep going. That means what you have done, yani you can be praying and doing the wajibat and the sunan, but you're still heedless. But when you, after the yaqadha and everything, you overtake. You zoom past it. You keep driving. Once you've done that, that means you left your comfort zone now. And you're moving. And that's when you become a murid. وَأَمَّا اسْتِهْوَاءَهُ طَلَبٌ لِسَلْوَتِهِ فَهُوَ قَهْرُ مَحَبَّتِهِ لِسَلْوَتِهِ. The third limb, he said. وَيَسْتَهْوِي الطَّلَبُ السَّلْوَةِ. That means, he explained it, فَهُوَ قَهْرُ مَحَبَّتِهِ لِسَلْوَتِهِ. It is your mahabbah. فَهُوَ قَهْرٌ مَحَبَّتِهِ لِسَلْوَتِهِ بِحَيْثُ تَهْوَى السَّلْوَى تَهْوِي السَّلْوَى وَتَسْقُطْ. He said, your love of Allah and your love of this path defeats your habits and entertainments. Wherever you had salwa, like in nowadays, what is your salwa? Is to what? Masalwa, yani your auntie. No. To sit down and watch a show, to watch whatever, to engage in yani things which is entertainment. But your love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the salwa comes to your heart, you defeat it. And that's what he is saying. وَهَذَا عَلَامَةُ الْمَحَبَّةِ الصَّادِقَةِ. Ibn Qayyim said, this is the sign of truthful love. Now, فَالْحَاصِلْ, he said, the summary of the daraja al-ula, أَنَّ عِصْمَتَهُ وَحِمَايَتَهُ تَقْهُرُ شَهْوَتَهُ. That your isma defeats your desires. The irada defeats your heedlessness. Your love defeats what? Your entertainments. What your means of entertainment. He said the second level, الدرجة الثانية, أن لا تنقض إرادته سبب. Your irada does not nullify a reason. ولا يوحش قلبه عارض. And no effect can make your heart estranged or gloom. So nothing comes to your heart that causes it to be put it in a state of gloom or make it estranged. Fahimt? Is no arad comes to cause wahsha in your heart. We'll explain it. وَلَا يَقْطَعُ عَلَيْهِ الطَّرِيقَ فِتْنَةً. Another fitna that comes can cut off your way or can distract your focus. Fitna comes, you remain with strong steps. That's why he put this as daraja thaniya. Because it's very hard for you as a second level, very hard for you to attain that. Because many of us will be in a way, a fitna comes and what? You stop at least to deal with it and then you continue on your journey. It hinders you. It occupies you, takes space of your mind and your effort. So you slow down. He said, no. Araft, that should not happen. Let's see the explanation of Ibn al-Qayyim. Here he said, سَبَبٌ يَعْرَضُ لَهُ يَنْقِدُ عَزْمَهُ وَإِرَادَتُهُ فَإِذَا تَمَكَّنَ إِنْ دَفَعْتَ ذِلَهُ. He said, once you reach al-ikhbat, all these sicknesses are repelled. What are the sicknesses? Reasons that nullify your will. صح? عارض comes to the heart and fitna cuts your way, cuts your path. Three. He said, once you reach the level of ikhbat, these three are defeated. He said here, وَجَدَّ بِهِ السَّيْرِ لَمْ يَنْقُضْهَا سَبَبٌ مِّنْ أَصْبَابِ التَّخَلُّفِ. He said, and the journey becomes serious and no sabab, no reason will make it stop or divert it. Let me explain a little bit more. I think the Shaykh Rahimahullah did not expand on the asbab which tanqud al-irada. Why he used the sabab reasons for the irada? In these three sections, pay attention. There is the irada, which is a psychological state, صح? And the heart is the emotional state. True? And the fitna is the physical state. صح? You see the differences between the three. So for the irada, for it to be tu'arad, opposed and hindered, what do you require? A strong sabab, reason. صح? You understand? What are the reasons, for example, that stops your irada? You lost your job. That's a reason, صح? Reduces your what? Your irada, your will. Many other elements can come to your life. Asbab. Araft? One day you had to visit a family in the hospital and you stayed up. That is sabab. Sabab for you to what? To weaken your resolve to wake up early for tahajjud or qiyamul layl. True or not? Sabab or not? But this sabab does not weaken nor nullify your irada. You still wake up on time for tahajjud and you do your tahajjud. You see how sabab. So it's not something emotional that comes. Araft? Sabab that weakens your irada. As for here, arid comes from emotions. Falling in love. صح? That's arid. True or not? What does it do to you? يُحِشُ قَلْبَهُ. The heart, instead of feeling attachment to ma'nina with Allah, now there are a proportion of it engaged with love. صح. I'm not telling you don't love your wife and the wife don't love your husband. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, awarid is emotional things coming, play with your heart. Sadness, sorrow, loss of loved ones. That's awarid comes to put وحشة makes your heart full of gloom.
العارض
that comes to your heart, which is caused what? Sadness.
And
turns it away from the strength that it had to carry on. And then the fitna is something physical, something, a fitna that happens. That here he said, rahimahullah, وَهَذِهِ الْعَزَائِمِ This عَزَائِم, this resolves. لَا تَصُحُّ It would not become correct except whom his heart is illuminated, full of light of the names of Allah and the attributes of Allah and the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what he is saying. So this is what causes the ikhbat. And once you reach the manzilat al-ikhbat, no arid will play you with your heart. No sabab will weaken your resolve. No fitna will cut off your path. He said, الدَّرَجَةُ الثَّالِثَةَ The third level. أَنْ يَسْتَوِيَ عِنْدَهُ الْمَدْحُ وَالذَّمُ وَتَدُومُ لَائِمَةٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَيَعْمَى عَنْ نِقْصَانِ الْخَلْقِ عَنْ دَرَجَتِهِ I will translate one by one. He said, once your heart settled with al-ikhbat, the praise or the criticism of people, both of them equal to you. Yani somebody comes and criticizes you, reprimand you, and someone praises you, your heart remains steady for both. Criticism does not upset you. And I mean here negative criticism. I'm not saying positive criticism. I'm saying here like somebody reprimands you or criticizes you. Nor the praise of people makes you feel happy. You are the same person regardless. And that's why the Shaykh put it on what? On the third level, because it's very hard. Many of us, criticism make him sad. And praise make him feel motivated. Araft. So when it is at the same level, then this is when you have reached this level of ikhbat. You know that you are now have reached it. Why? Because if the heart is settled with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't care what people say. There is a difference between in لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتْ and this level. Some people confuse these two. In لَمْ تَسْتَحِي if you don't have shyness, go do whatever you like, as the Prophet ﷺ said. Yani some people are what? Rude and abrupt, bad-mannered. I'm talking people who come to the masjid with a beard and a thawb. I'm not talking about people on the street. And he says, listen, bro, I don't care what people say. What I want is the pleasure of Allah. And he put his index finger up towards the ceiling. صح? لا, ما انت ان لم تستحي فاصنع ما شئت. There's a different story between الحياء. عرفت? But if you are on the haqq, and you're delivering the haqq, or you're doing your ibadat, but people don't like it, doesn't mean you become rude and abrupt. Criticize you. Oh, are you doing this? Look at you. It doesn't weaken you. Relax. Alhamdulillah. And if people come and praise you, say, MashaAllah, look at your qira'ah, look at your ibadah, it doesn't befool you. You start thinking what? As the Salaf taught us, you say, oh Allah, do not expose my sins in front of them. Otherwise they'll spit on me. If they know the truth of who I am. صح? After you ask Allah sitra to cover your sins. فهمت يا أخي? يا أختي? No, this is what he says. So, he said, وَأَمَّا قَوْلُهُ وَأَنْتَ دُومَ لَائِمَتُهُ لِنَفْسِهِ He said here that صاحب this منزلة does not accept, he's never pleased with his nafs. Always looking for a new challenge. Something new he can get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. More ilm, more ibadah, more da'wah, more. He's always want to do more. And his nafs always criticizes him that he never done enough. Arafat? And this is what Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah. He said, وَالْمُرَادُ بِالنَّفْسِ. And the nafs according عند القوم, يعني عند الصوفية. Said, مَا كَانَ مَعْلُولًا مِنْ أَوْصَافِ الْعِبَادِ مَذْمُومًا مِنْ أَخْلَاقِهِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ. The nafs to them is معلول. يعني they refer to the nafs, they refer to the sickness of the nafs and the negative akhlaq that he has. سواء كان ذلك كسبيا أم خلقيا. Whether it is كسبي or خلقي. كسبي meaning you earn those bad habits, you learned them, or they were created in you. Is there bad habits created? Yes, some people, they talk too much. Created, they talk too much. You look at their family, you find his father or his mother talks too much. Picked up the habits in the gene of the family. صح? You find a family, all of it, they're bludges. They don't work, they don't do anything. عرفت? You find the father and the mother, they, it's what? It's خلقي, it's in their gene, they don't like to work. That's what? That's خلقي. But with training the nafs, that can change. صح? I have my own theory about intelligence. I don't want to talk about it now, but I don't believe anyone was born dumb. Everyone is smart in a different field, but the challenge is to discover that field. And if you could live all your life not discovering it and stuck in a job or in a kind of work or a kind of study, that you didn't discover other things, and therefore you didn't succeed, and you're not, you know, some people are not smart in mathematics. Doesn't mean they're dumb, but they are smart in other things. But if they insist to be smart in mathematics, that means they have to work harder than more than others until they reach the level of others. Arab? Meaning they have to exert more energy in that area to reach the level of others, and they would reach the level of others and maybe overtake others. Fahimtum? Yeah. So this is when yani the khalq and the kasb. Arafat? And the kasb is when you pick up bad habits. He said, فَهُوَ شَدِيدُ اللَّائِمَةِ لَهَا. The salik always criticize this nafs. وَهَذَا أَحَدُ التَّأْوِيلَيْنِ. And this is one of the two interpretation. وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ. We learned in some lessons of tafsir that the ta'wil, the interpretation of an-nafs al-lawwama, is a form of a praise for this nafs, that it is an honorable nafs because it held itself accountable. But there is another ta'wil for it that the qawm usually depend on. The qawm, yani, mashayikh al-sufiyya. He said, قَالَ سَعِيدِ بْنُ جُبَيْرُ وَعِكْرِمَةِ تلوم على الخير والشر. It blames on good and evil. So it continues, يعني not satisfied with anything. ولا تصبر لا على سراء ولا على ضراء. Has no patience for good time or bad time. يعني النفس that is what? Not happy with anything. وقال قتادة اللوامة هي الفاجرة. اللوامة هي الفاجرة. يعني اللوامة that burst with evil والعياذ بالله. شوف. وقال مجاهد تندم على ما فات وتقول لو فعلت ولو لم أفعل. That nafs always regret what is past and always says, I wish I've done this and I wish I did not do this. So this is according to many of the Salaf,
نفس لوامة. نفس لوامة.
But you see, it's a negative nafs. Huh? It's not the positive nafs that we said before.
نعم. وقال الحسن. معلش, let me expand on this a little bit. وقال الحسن هي النفس, الحسن البصري يعني, هي النفس المؤمنة. النفس, the true believer. That's another تأويل we take. عرفت؟ النفس المؤمنة. إن المؤمنة, يقول ابن قيم رحمه الله, you see here the art of early writing, different than today. وقال الحسن النفس المؤمنة full stop and إن المؤمنة والله. This is because you used to put in brackets or quote unquote. Hmm? The Salaf never used to use this. When they put a full stop, that mean it's not al-Hasan anymore, it's Ibn al-Qayyim talking. Kutub al-Salaf, there is an art how to read it. And if you miss that, because I've seen buhuth written by students in Arabic, they quote, for example, a book like this, it says, wal-Hasan qal, and then he puts the whole paragraph. No, that's not al-Hasan. The first two words are al-Hasan, then the rest is whom? Ibn al-Qayyim. But because you haven't learned how the structure of the Salaf, how they write, Malish, I give you another hint. You read Ibn Hazm, for example. He starts with Qala Abu Muhammad. Who's Abu Muhammad? Himself. Why is he saying Qala Abu Muhammad if you're writing the book? Because there are many quotes from other ulama, so you don't confuse. He's starting now to talk himself, so he can detach you from what other scholars said that he quoted, and starts the paragraph, you know who's talking now. Fahimt? And this is from the art of reading the book of Salaf. Now, he put a full stop, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ, Ibn al-Qayyim said, الْمُؤْمِنِ وَاللَّهِ مَا تَرَاهُ إِلَّا يَلُومُ نَفْسَهُ. He said, you always see him what? Blaming himself. Al-Mu'min always blame himself. He said, I did not intend with this word such and such. I did not intend with this action this and this. وَأَنَّ الْفَاجِرِ يَمْدِي قُدُمًا قُدُمًا وَلَا يُحَاسِبُ نَفْسَهُ وَلَا يُعَاتِبُهُ. As for the fajir, he just keeps on going. He doesn't hold his nafs accountable nor reprimands it. So, when Al-Hasan said, Al-Nafs al-Mu'mina, Ibn al-Qayyim explained what Al-Nafs al-Mu'mina is, the person who always said, what did I intend with this? Why did I say this? Did I say this right? I could have said this wrong. I could have upset this brother. I could have done this. And he always corrects himself. He said, Al-Fajir, he doesn't care what anyone thinks. He doesn't care what he is doing. He just keeps going, Quduman, Quduman. Step by step, it keeps going. والقصد نعم وقال مقاتل هي النفس الكافرة. It is the disbelieving nafs that blames itself in جهنم يوم القيامة. Why you didn't تتبع الرسول, why this, why that. المهم, he said, والقصد أن من بذل نفسه لله, he said, what is intended behind this, whomever gives his nafs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala بصدق كره بقاؤه معها. He said, he would dislike that he stays with it. He wants it what? Why? Because this nafs always incite him to do haram. So he start to dislike it and he start to work against it. وأيضا نعم فإنه من قواعد القوم. He said, it is also a consensus amongst them. القوم يعني الصوفية. From their first ones to the last one, أن النفس حجاب بين العبد وبين الله. He said, your nafs is a veil between you and Allah. All of them, from the early Sufiya to the late Sufiya. And nafs is a veil between you and Allah.
وأنه لا يصل إلى الله حتى يقطع هذا الحجاب.
And he cannot reach to Allah until he cut off this veil between him and Allah.
يعني what does it mean?
To defeat the nafs until the nafs becomes subject to you.
This is when the hijab between you and Allah is lifted.
Of course, the intangible hijab, مش the physical hijab.
He said, كما قال أبو زيد.
He said, أبو زيد said,
رأيت رب العزة في المنام.
I saw my Lord in a dream.
This is a point here I'd like to tell you.
Can Allah be seen in a dream?
علماء عن خلاف.
علماء عن خلاف.
Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal,
it was narrated that he seen his Lord in his manam.
Also, it was, يعني some ahadith, the Prophet ﷺ said,
رأيت ربي في أحسن صورة.
I said, I seen my Lord in the best image.
Now here, pay attention.
Some ulama said, no, it is impossible because it could lead to tashbih.
How are you going to see Lord?
Your Lord is not seen.
Here,
it doesn't mean you seen
وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ اللَّهِ physically.
عرفت؟
But you see something, you see a light.
A voice calling, I am your Lord,
such and such.
يعني, do such and such.
فهمت؟
Some ulama said this is possible.
This is possible to see Allah in your dream.
In your, طبعا, it's not dream, يعني, الحلم.
It's a رؤية.
عرفنا؟
طيب.
And it is not in a matter of tashbih, meaning to make similarities between the creation and the creator. Because tashbih والعياذ بالله is كفر.
And not in a matter of tashbih.
But what do you see? You see maybe light.
You see, you hear a voice in your dream coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
But it is not physically Allah. It's not Him with the capital H.
Fahimna?
How? Allahu A'lam.
But I cannot deny the khilaf that exists.
I cannot deny the khilaf that exists.
Is it possible? Say Allahu A'lam, it is possible.
Without tashbih. Huh?
يعني what you see, it is not the real image of Allah.
It is not Allah Himself.
Fahimtu?
Araft?
He said here, فقلت يا رب كيف الطريق إليك
يا الله what is the path to you
فقال خلي نفسك وتعال
خلي نفسك leave your nafs and come to me
عرفت leave your nafs and come to me
he said ابن القيم رحمه الله
فالنفس النفس is a great mountain very high
And every traveler has to pass that mountain,
has to climb that mountain.
But some, when they look at this mountain, they get scared and they turn back.
And some, they will climb it. They find it hard to climb, but they climb it.
And some, they find it very easy to climb.
Araft.
And he said, and in this mountain, there are valleys. And there are impediments, obstacles, thorns, and thieves. They try to steal your sustenance. They try to mislead you. And especially, the dajajila of nighttime, Ahlul Layl.
His metaphors are sharp and deep. You got to think about them.
And if you don't carry with you on this journey the provisions of Iman, the lamps of Yaqeen, with the oil of Ikhbat, you will hang and attach yourself to these impediments and obstacles, and you start going in circles and you get lost in this mountain.
And even you try to go back, you can't even find your way back.
Shuf. Subhanallah, those words are very striking. He said, فَإِنَّ أَكْثَرَ السَّائِرِينَ He said, majority of the travelers came back when they could not climb this mountain. And وَالشَّيْطَانُ عَلَى قُلَّةِ ذَلِكَ الْجَبَلِ He said, and the shaitan is sitting on this mountain. When you start your journey, he start warning you, don't climb. It's very hard. You're going to fall and break your arm. You might fall back and roll back and break every bone in your body. And he weakens your resolve. And this is one of the ways you turn around and come back. He comes to you from the Nasihin. He doesn't come to you and says, I'm the shaitan with horns. He come in a garment of an advisor. I climbed this mountain. I could not. I've seen people rolling back and dying, hitting rocks. You're going to find a lot of thorns up in your way. Can't you see it? It has no ending. It's a very hard mountain to climb. Imagine a brother want to memorize the Quran. It's a mountain to memorize the Quran. It's not an easy. How much the shaitan starts. Brothers want to learn Arabic. Look how much the shaitan come their way. Arabic very hard. You open a book in Arabic and you find it very hard and you see a sheikh reading it fluently. You say, I can never become like this sheikh. Wallahi, there is no mountain high. You can climb every mountain. Every mountain you can climb. It's not hard. Everything is easy. When you have tawakkul on Allah, when you have ikhbat, when you focus and have azima, you'll climb every mountain. I remember when I started da'wah, I used to look at brothers climbing the minbar speaking English. I used to freak. I said, never, ever I can climb this manabir. Ever. It's impossible for me to climb a minbar and speak in English. Habibi, you're dreaming. I can't even string a sentence in English. Wallahi. Sefton Mosque, I remember. Once somebody gave me a khutbah in Arabic to translate it in English. I sat in the first row. I could not even stand up in front of the crowd to read it in English. And majority of the crowds are Arab. Even if I made a million mistakes, they will not understand. The guy who gave me this task, may Allah reward him. I translated it. You know how long it took me? Now you see me translate directly from Arab, from looking at the Arabic book and translate directly. It took me 4 days to translate 2 pages. 2 dictionaries and everything and fighting with my wife. And I don't find the translation. How do you spell that? Sah. Chuf. Wallah al-azim. The brother who described me, he said, the microphone was shaking. Your hand was shaking. Your legs were shaking. Your voice was shaking. And you probably sweated 3 liters of sweat. Is no mountain. Look, alhamdulillah, where I am now. I'm giving you a practical example. So there is no mountain is high. You climb every mountain. Arafat? Now the people who used to mock my English come and ask me what does this word means. But you have to focus. You have to what? Focus. Araftum. If you focus, and the shaitan comes always to scare you, don't be scared. The problem is not that you failed. Every human beings fail. The Prophet ﷺ got defeated in Uhud. It's a failure for the Muslims or not. But what? Did they stop? Did they just turn their back and say, khalas? No. Failure is part of success. But don't give up. If you have a project, you want to memorize the Quran, you want to learn Arabic, you want to learn ilm, you want to become a doctor, you want to become an engineer, you want to become a lawyer, you want whatever you want to become. No one is smarter than you. You're all creation of Allah. You're all created. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ You're created in the best form as Allah said. There's no form of the creation of Allah better than the form you're created in as a human being. Allah gave you the means for success. You just need the strong will to move on. And that's what here, Rahimahullah said.
فيتفق. Two elements going to come in agreement with each other. مشقة الصعود, the hardship of climbing this mountain, and the fear that the shaitan casting in your heart. عرفت؟ نعم. فيتولد الانقطاع والرجوع. What happened? That gives birth to what? الانقطاع, cutting off and turning back. والمعصوم من عصمه الله. And the infallible whom Allah made him infallible. And the protected ones are the one who Allah protected them. He said, وكلما رقى السائر في ذلك الجبل, the more he goes higher and higher in climbing this mountain, اشتد به صياح القاطع. The higher you get, the caller who trying to stop you, he raises his voice even higher and louder and causes you more trouble to turn you back. And once you reach the high level, all this fear that you had, you find them turned to all to peace and tranquility. All of it turned to peace and tranquility. And then once you pass that level, then the travel becomes easy. So what it is, there is a level. If you who from you done swimming? You done swimming or you done swimming? Okay. When you do first, for example, 6-7 laps, you'll find yourself what? You're out of breath, you're very, very, very tired. You're about to give up. You either give up and stop or you push yourself another lap. What happens? Your lung expand and you can do another 10 laps easy. صح or no? I experienced it myself. I used to do about 40 to 50 laps in an Olympic pool. In the first 8 laps, خلاص, you can't. It's like the water turned to sand. But once you do the 10 and 11, you find yourself as your lungs expand. So imagine with me this climbing the mountain. Halfway, you're going to give up. And Nicola calling you, you're going to fall. Just stop, go back, turn, what are you doing? But once you cross that line, it turns. And then the path becomes easy. He shuts up or you don't even pay attention to him anymore. And then you keep moving. And oh, Allah, easy track, Habibi. It's not hard anymore. Araft? And this is what he is saying. Naam. وَيَرَى طَرِيقًا وَاسِعًا آمِنًا يُفْضِ بِهِ إِلَى الْمَنَازِلِ وَالْمَنَاهِلِ. And then he sees a wide path. Smooth path will lead you to ease. He said, Naam. He said, فَبَيْنَ السَّعَادَةِ وَالْفَلَاحِ. So the slave, between happiness and success, قوة العزيمة, the strength of your resolve, وصبر ساعة, and be patient for that extra hour, وشجاعة نفس, and the courage of your nafs, and the steadfastness of the heart. وَالْفَضْلُ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءَ. And the virtue in the hand of Allah gives it to whomever He likes. وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. شوف. 4 points. قوة عزيمة. Strong resolve. Patience for 1 hour. شجاعة نفس. The courage of the nafs. And the strength of the heart. وَقَوْلُهُ. Now the third limb in the third level. وَيَعْمَى عَنْ نُقْصَانِ الْخَلْقِ عَنْ دَرَجَتِهِ. يعني أنه وإن كان أعلى ممن هو دونه من الناقصين على درجته إلا أنه لاشتغاله بالله. يعني I'll translate quickly because we're running out of time. He said, and he turns a blind eye for the people who are lesser level than him. Doesn't mean he doesn't help them and support them, but he doesn't see them anymore as relevant. عرفت؟ يعني he doesn't let them affect him. Because when you look at people who are lower than you in level, he level than you in what? In their ibadah and ta'ah in that, you start to affect you psychologically. You say, okay, I can do like them. Why push myself too hard? Everyone is doing this, خلاص, I am like them. No, he said, you don't even see them. And you start aiming, you keep aiming high, and you keep going. And they become what? Irrelevant to you. Araft? Here he said, why is that? Because يَشْتَغِلُ بِهِ عَنْ مُلَاحَظَةِ حَالِ غَيْرِهِ. He get too occupied with Allah, which leads him to what? To turn a blind eye. Or not even turn blind eye. He doesn't even see them. Araft? He doesn't even see them anymore. He's focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and on the path, on the journey that he's on. He doesn't see the others anymore. He only sees in front of him. Tayyib shabab, next week we're going to talk about the zuhud, asceticism, and the introduction of a zuhud could take a whole lesson. Ibn al-Qayyim, he collected many definitions of our predecessors about what is zuhud. And you'll be amazed. Some have said, just to give you a little bit of teaser, it's impossible, at his time, Ibn al-Qayyim, at his time, it's impossible to have zuhud today. Because there is no more halal today. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك